Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 441, featuring Rachel Roberts with Abija Retreats. I'm Barry Kantz, your host, and I personally welcome you to the show. In today's show, we are broadly speaking about health and wellness retreats, and specifically about yoga retreats and the accompanying travel experiences. This show also includes an offer to expand your business, so stand by for that. Now come along, enjoy the show, and learn of an opportunity. And I'm always honored to have listeners reach out to me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, or on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS. So, on with the show. Welcome, everybody. It's another great day here in West Michigan, and it's another great interview that we have in store for you here on the Home Base Travel Agent Show. And I'm really excited about this topic. I think it's a popular topic and not given enough attention that it deserves. And today I have, as a guest, I have Rachel Roberts, and she is with Abija, am I saying that right, Yoga Retreats? I don't know if I've got that pronunciation right.
You are. It is. It's Abija.
Okay, good. And what I want to do is turn it over to Rachel and let her give us a more in-depth introduction and tell us a little bit about herself.
Thank you. It's my honor to be here. I appreciate the time to talk about this. So I own a yoga studio. I live in Northern Kentucky, and I own a yoga studio here. But before I even opened the yoga studio, which has been open for 13 years, I started leading international yoga retreats. So I've been doing that for about 15 years, everywhere from Asia to Latin America and the Caribbean. And then we hold 4 a year in the Midwest, in Ohio. So that's really been my passion point. I come from a background in tourism, recreation, entertainment, in the ski industry. I used to live out in Colorado for a long time and was a guide, and then worked in the skiing industry. So it's sort of in my DNA to guide people around the world and curate experiences for them. We do that through an ancillary part of our business. So the yoga studio is called the Yoga Bar, but Abija Retreats is our retreat business. And in non-COVID times, we would hold usually 6 retreats a year, 4 in the Midwest, and then 2 international. And so I'm anxious to talk to you about what the industry looks like now, as we're all kind of coming back out of it, and people seem really primed to want not only to travel but to have these curated experiences that are centered around mindfulness and wellness.
Yeah, we had an opportunity to talk a little bit prior to hitting the record button, and the health and wellness travel is really popular. It's gaining more momentum than it had prior to the pandemic, and it's really popular with the millennials and with baby boomers. It seems like this is a great opportunity for travel agents.
I think so, because what people seem to be looking for is, again, that curated experience. We say in the materials for our business that we relieve our clients of the burden of decision making. So once you've arrived in our care, we have everything taken care of for you. And the hardest thing you're going to have to figure out is what time you might want a massage in the afternoon or something along those lines, although those are usually scheduled for you too. But it seems like people really, our time is such a scarce resource for so many of us. So people want the ability to get away, to not have to invest a huge amount of time in the planning of it themselves, but to go with someone that they trust who's already planned it. I know your listeners know this experience very well, so that they can experience wherever they're going as fully as possible in the allotted amount of time, so they can rest and renew and restore, and so that they feel like they actually sort of took care of themselves in the mix. So that's what a yoga retreat really does, right? So generally speaking, every retreat I've held, I go ahead, usually a year or two in advance, and I stay at different resorts and figure out which one's going to work best for our group. I work with vendors to figure out which excursions may be best for our group. Those excursions tend to focus around mindfulness or spirituality. I'll test restaurants, whatever it is, just so that I understand the best experience I can give them. And then, I'll take a year or two to plan it and market it and send everyone there for the retreats. And so it's an interesting change for the retreat leaders right now, and I think a real opportunity for your listeners, in that I haven't been able to travel for the last 2 years, so I'm kind of out of new places to take people. So it's time for me to start to lean on people who understand marketplaces I don't, in a way that might be able to help curate these experiences and allow me to focus more on just being the teacher and the retreat leader than also the entire trip planner.
Oh, okay. So you're looking to partner up with some travel agents so that you can actually do that, be the teacher and the retreat leader and not the travel agent. You want to shift the areas of expertise to the people who have the expertise. Am I understanding that right?
That would be a real treat. And I'll tell you that I'm sort of a unicorn in this field, and that I come from, you know, a tourism background and a guiding background. But most, you know, really competent yoga teachers or Pilates teachers or meditation teachers, this isn't their core competency to plan these things. So, you know, I just think it's a real opportunity for our industries to come together and to have someone else, you know, to have each of us focus on our core competencies, to have people in the travel industry planning and curating the resort, the travel portion of it, maybe some of the excursions, and then let the teacher more or less insert themselves just to teach. I mean, you can understand the expense, the personal expense that I would have to go somewhere. Let's say I want to hold a retreat in Vietnam. I need to pay to go to Vietnam. I need to take that time away from my business. I need to pay to do all of the excursions and visit all the retreat centers. Now, some of them will comp it if they know that I'm doing this, but generally I just go ahead and pay and do the thing. So I'll be several thousands of dollars into a retreat that I may or may not even be able to pull off. And then another, you know, sort of challenge on the retreat leader side is that I still have money tied up in Bali for a retreat I was supposed to hold in 2019 before COVID came. So it's not abnormal for us as small business owners to then have thousands upon thousands of dollars tied up for a year or two as we await actually bringing guests. So it'd be fantastic to have someone help broker those kinds of relationships. I think it's a real opportunity. And I would think that for the travel agent side of things, they tend to be mid to higher dollar spenders. You know, an international yoga retreat will cost $2,000 to $4,000 for the week just for the retreat, and then people are expected to manage their own travel to get there. So there's some real dollars and some real opportunity involved in it.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, this whole idea of health and wellness travel is up and coming more than it was prior to the pandemic. And so, you know, I think the opportunity for a travel agent or travel agents, multiple, to partner with you, they have the expertise. They probably have destination knowledge already, which would reduce some of the expenses in planning a retreat. And like you said, it's an opportunity for them to collect commissions as a result. And then, you know, the question is, well, why is health and wellness up and coming, even more so now? And I think the answer is, and you can comment on this, I think the answer is because people have become more aware of health and wellness as a result of the pandemic, and they're more focused on that now than they ever have been. And I think that's a contributing factor to the up and coming of health and wellness travel.
Yeah, I think, you know, for so long, just in Western culture at least, we get super stressed out and we think, okay, I just need to go on vacation for a week. And we go to a beach vacation or a hotel or a resort vacation, or we go to a big city, something along those lines, it's sort of more traditional vacation routes. And what we realize is, you know, everybody's heard their clients come back, I'm sure, and say, I need a vacation from vacation, because it was, you know, just jam-packed with activities, or it was overscheduled, or there was just so much to learn along the way, what have you. And so the idea that a vacation is completely curated for you and it's focused around your own wellness and hopefully will give you tools so that you're not just, the benefit isn't just a week off work. The benefit is the week off work, experiencing a new place in a relatively low stress way. And then hopefully you're going to come back with, you know, breathwork techniques or meditation techniques or exercise, an exercise regimen that you can carry into your daily life. So when we do these retreats, we're not just trying to put people in a bubble that's completely non-transferable to their life back home. We're trying to give them an experience that has lasting positive benefits. So when they get back, they have sort of this touchstone of the experience that they had that they can come back to through meditation, through yoga, through mindfulness or breath work, that kind of gives them a taste of the calm that they experienced on vacation back in their daily life. And COVID showed us that travel can be concerning for your health. And, you know, and if anyone was a hypochondriac beforehand, then the idea of getting on a plane nowadays is even more challenging. I had Lysol wipes in my kit on the plane a decade ago because I've always worried about it. So it's a nice, I think it's very comforting to people to know that the people planning their trip are focused on their health and their wellness. And it makes them feel even more secure about traveling somewhere new in the light of our new world.
Yeah, and that's so important considering where we've been. I think that's a major factor is the comfort that you can give to the traveler, knowing that there's a focus on that. You know, another thing that I found interesting too, doing some research about the topic, is that millennials travelers, they have the most money right now to spend on travel. Millennials are focused on experience. You know, they're not as maybe somebody might think, but they're not focused on partying or shopping. They really want the experience. They want an experience that will last a lifetime. And it sounds like the yoga retreats are something that will accomplish that.
So I do think that millennials tend to value, or they collect experiences more than items. And so what's been a really nice sort of happy accident is that because of my background in travel, and before I opened my yoga studios, I mentioned that I was leading yoga retreats. That was after traveling around the world for 2 years nonstop. I did like 27 countries in 2 years, and I was blogging and, you know, doing my own social. And this was back in 2008, 2009. So it was much less prolific back then. But because I sort of come to it from that ethos of always wanting to tell the story of where I am, of understanding that in order for someone to be your teacher, they don't have to be a guru. They just need to be one or two steps ahead of you on the path to have something useful to offer you. You know, I try to just stay that one to two steps ahead of my clients so that when they come, I can answer their questions when we're doing a hike on a trail, and I can help them to create their visual experience that they may share with their friends back home in a way that is storytelling and a fun collected experience for them to share, more so than just teaching them a yoga class when we're out and about. I really do try to make sure that the entire package is there. And, you know, back to talking about your listeners and how this could tie in, it's just such a different experience than a lot of the other guided tours. And so, and because people are looking for that more holistic experience of health and wellness and travel and storytelling and a collected experience, I just feel like there's a really nice symbiosis between our industries here that we could all be working a little harder to collaborate on and to grow that part of the industry together.
Yeah, I think that's a great symbiosis and great opportunity for a travel agent that would be interested in expanding their business in this direction, yeah. Which I think is a great direction. It's certainly a popular one and up and coming, as I've said before. Jumping topics a little bit here, tell me about yoga and why is yoga so popular? What is it?
So most people in the West think yoga is the physical practice of yoga. It's, you know, trying to get to where you put your foot behind your head. If you ask someone in an Eastern nation what yoga is, they'll tell you they do yoga because they meditate. So yoga is big. It's a big word. It has a lot of aspects. It can be breath work and meditation and the physical practice and then sort of the tenets of how to be a decent human being and how to leave the world better than you found it. All of that factors into it. And so I think it's really a mindset. We say in the classroom all the time that we practice so that we can be healthy in body, calm in mind, useful in our daily lives, and joyous enough to inspire others to do the same. So when I'm planning a trip, those are the things I try to do, right? I try to make sure there's time for us to move our bodies in a way that's healthy. Try to make sure that the place we're going to, the country or the resort or whatever, is going to fill people's cup up in some way spiritually. Which doesn't mean that it's religiously, but spiritually. So for instance, when I took people down to Tulum for a retreat, we had a shaman come in and do a ceremony there because that's the spirituality that's native to that place. When I go to Bali, I have a Balinese priest come in and lead them through a temple ceremony. And that's just part of the experience. It's not like we're trying to persuade anyone to have a belief system one way or the other. We're just trying to explain to them how other people around the world experience ritual and kindness and community and unity. And so I think that's really, you know, a part of that curated experience that resonates with people. So it's a lot more than just a yoga class. It's a lot more than just an exercise class. So that's definitely part of it. And sometimes that's the thread that holds it all together, right? People have been experienced how good they feel when they leave a yoga class and they're like, oh, I want to do that for 3 days in a row or 7 days in a row. And that's what they come to. And then through that process, I'm able to teach them about the bigger, broader practice of yoga. All those things I just told you, that it's not just the physical practice, it's all of these other tools that you gain. And that's where it becomes really an integrated part of your daily life and helps you to observe more and react less and to just be a calmer, happier, healthier, more contributory person.
So some people might have the concept or have the thought, at least, that, gosh, if I'm going to go on a yoga retreat, I'm going to have to stand on my head. That's far from the truth, isn't it?
It is very far from the truth. So I've had many, many clients who've shown up who've never taken a yoga class before in their lives, which I always think is so brave that you would like immerse yourself. But it's a great way to learn the practice. We definitely have students who come who are very practiced and everything in between. And the job of a good retreat leader is to be able to teach to a one-room schoolhouse. So, you know, if I show up and there are 10 people there and one person has never practiced before and is recovering from knee surgery and one person happens to be a 22-year-old ballerina, it's my job to curate the classes specifically in a way that is accessible and enjoyable and rewarding to both of those students and everyone in between. And that's, you know, that just takes experience and training. So, you know, if anyone here is interested in going on a yoga retreat, I would say, you know, you need to pay attention to who the teacher is that's leading it. It is enticing for yoga teachers to want to lead retreats because they think it's sort of a free vacation somewhere. But, you know, there's a lot of liability involved in taking people somewhere outside of your studio. There's a lot of expectation for people. Like I said, they're coming because they want this curated experience that they don't have to plan and that is almost assured to give them a positive experience when the day is done. So it's not as easy as it might sound to throw one of these together, which is why I was saying I think there's such a great symbiosis here for travel agents and for the retreat leaders. But if you're interested in doing one, make sure you do your research on who's teaching it. You know, nothing beats experience. So you want someone who's taught for a while, who's seen a lot of bodies. When you're new, you really only understand how your body works. So you want someone who's, you know, seen everything from the 22-year-old ballerina to the 80-year-old who's still, you know, able to get up and down from the ground on their own. That's really the only criteria we say for retreats. As long as you can get up and down from the ground on your own, we can make the retreat fit you.
Oh, that's wonderful. So it fits all age groups, basically.
And I would say most people think you're going to come on a yoga retreat and it's going to be really, really, really hard. The classes I teach in my studio are generally physically more challenging than the classes I teach on retreat because people aren't generally coming on retreat to get their butts kicked, right? They're coming on retreat to have their cups refilled. So the movement is part of it, and I try to put together these wise progressions of classes that help them to feel really good and to understand how to care for their bodies rather than to try and push or super challenge their bodies, although there's definitely some challenge. For me, like, just being brave enough to trust me to put a trip together for you and to take you wherever I'm taking you, that's, you've already overcome a huge challenge, and freeing up the space and the resources in your life to be able to do that. That should be the hardest part of a yoga retreat, is getting yourself there. Everything that had to conspire to get you to the retreat. And from that point on, everything about it should just feel sort of like a moving meditation or a moving massage or a gift to yourself. So that's really what we try to do.
And then the meditation part, you know, some people might think, well, I can't keep my thoughts focused for a half a second. How am I going to meditate?
So what I do, like, I'm leading a retreat this coming weekend. It's a 3-day retreat. I'll teach 5 yoga and meditation classes during it. And each class will have a different kind of meditation because meditation is really challenging. And for some people, there are different pathways into meditation, a guided meditation or a mantra where you're chanting a mantra meditation, or tretek, which is candle gazing. So I'll teach a variety of different meditation techniques so that people can kind of hopefully taste one that appeals to them and then take that home with them. When we do the 7-day meditations or the 7-day retreats, I'll repeat things so that once they've found the one they like, we start to make a habit of it. But it's hard. You know, I say to people all the time, one of the easiest meditations you can teach someone, our starter meditation, is a counting meditation. So you close your eyes, you find a comfortable seat, you take a few deep breaths, and then you inhale. And as you're inhaling in your mind, you say the number 99. As you're exhaling, you say the number 98. Inhale 97, exhale 96, and so on. And people think the goal is to get all the way down to zero. But that's not the goal. The goal is just to steady the mind on one thing. And when you know it's working is when you realize you've lost the count. And without shame or attachment or frustration, you just go right back to 99. Because the goal wasn't to get down to zero. The goal was just to steady the mind on the counting. So going back to 99 is not a failure. Going back to 99 is the victory. It's the sign that says, I realize my mind has wandered and I choose to bring it back and to be more present right here and now.
Why would you meditate? What are the benefits?
We just live in such a frenetic world. I mentioned earlier, and I don't know whether that'll get cut out, so I'll just say it again, but I'm almost 50 years old. So I'm of that generation that grew up before computers, but has spent most of my life with computers. I sort of felt the transfer take place in my junior or senior years of high school. I live with my device in my hand. I'm a small business owner and I have another job as well. So I have, you know, just constant demands on me. And my meditation practice is where I force myself to sit and observe more and react less. So if you're familiar with Gandhi used to love to say, everyone should meditate for 20 minutes a day unless you're too busy, and then you should meditate twice as long, which I love because it's a reminder that the world is frenetic and we have to find this time for ourselves and carve it out. The other way I introduce people to meditation is they say, look, I know it is daunting to think about finding 15, 20 minutes of your day to just sit and clear your mind. So start with breathing exercises. Start by just telling yourself to consciously take 5 breaths in a row. And you find a trigger for that. So in some traditions, that trigger is church bells. So if you're walking around your neighborhood and you hear church bells ring, stop where you are. Close your eyes. Take 5 conscious breaths. Another way to do it is to use a trigger that generally frustrates you or gets your anxiety up. So a lot of times I'll use my phone. Like my phone's dinging because I'm getting 20 text messages before just picking it up and responding and feeling how anxious that makes me. I stop and I take 5 mindful breaths and then I pick it up and I respond. If you're one of those people who gets road rage, then taillights become that for you. When you feel yourself getting angry on the road, have someone's taillight go off in front of you, and instead of getting angry, choose to take 5 mindful breaths. So those are some of the easy ways into meditation. And then that builds and builds and builds. And it really is just that personal check-in with yourself every day to ask yourself the simple questions of, how am I? What, if anything, do I need? Yeah, and if a need arises, then ask again, don't I really have everything I need? And when you do that, then it allows you to be a lot calmer, a lot more authentic, a lot more appreciative of what you have in any given moment. So you live less in this world of feeling guilt for things in the past or worry about things in the future. We say, you know, if you're in this exact present moment on this exact present breath, and your listeners can do this at home. So if you close your eyes and you take a deep breath in and a deep breath out and you realize where you are right this second, you are safe. On this breath, in this moment, you are completely fulfilled and that your needs are met and nothing is required of you. If you happen to be in company in this moment, then just take a moment to look around at those who are around you and you start to realize you're in phenomenal company. And so that's what meditation does. It gives you this moment, and in this moment we are safe, we are seen, we are loved, and our needs are met.
Yeah. I love the way you describe that. And it just fits so well within a book, within a book that I'm currently reading. It's called Dare to Be Great. Mm-hmm. One of the things in that book is that you just have to tell yourself, I'm enough.
Yeah.
I am enough. Yeah. That fits right in with what you just said. And that's very great. And this is all important information because people need this so much.
They do.
And go ahead.
I'm just going to say, people do. I mean, the world has always been a stressful place, but the last few years have really, you know, heightened people's anxiety. We are having more and more conversations broadly and importantly and correctly around mental health care. So I think for me, travel is my currency. Travel is what fills my cup back up. Travel is what honors the part of me that is innately curious and filled with wonder. Travel is the great equalizer. It builds tolerance like nothing else in the world. I wish that every American specifically had the opportunity to truly go abroad, and not to just go abroad to some place that feels very familiar and like home, but to, you know, to really go experience a different culture, a different part of the world, just to have your, you know, your worldview expanded. So I just think that the wellness aspect of what I do married with taking people to new experiences, it just makes everything even more potent and powerful, and I hope transformative for people.
Yeah. And I do hope that we have some travel agents out there that will contact you and work with you to make this more of a reality for more people. It's not only important for your clients, for their health and well-being, it's important for you because it's a growing area of travel.
It is.
And people are recognizing this more and more.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll tell you what goes into making a good retreat so people understand kind of the cogs in the wheel. First, you need, you know, a compelling location. So those tend to be locations that have some spiritual aspect to them or some artistic aspect to them. Like, you know, this is why people go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, for instance, for yoga retreats, right? It's spiritual and it's artistic. So you need the destination matters. Then you need a resort or a facility that has the space for a yoga retreat. And that space should be beautiful and compelling. So I have held yoga classes at big conferences that take place in conference centers, and it works, but it's not exactly right. So we tend to do better when we find a place that has either a dedicated space for yoga, which would be like an outdoor platform or a yoga room, or that just has a really pretty room, maybe with a good view to the outside. But that space needs to be relatively large. A yoga mat is 12 feet square. So, you know, it needs to be a relatively large space. Then they need catering. So back when yoga retreats really first started, the teacher would do everything. They, you know, rent a house or a cabin and do all the food and teach all the classes and clean everything up. And that just can't work. You can't do everything well. So a place that has decent catering, usually that catering needs to include vegetarian and vegan options. And so many people who come tend to be mindful of their health. And then one or two excursions. It doesn't have to be everyday excursions by any means, but places to, you know, excursion to a spiritual place or to an artistic place or a hike, or something out in nature, or something that is giving back to the community in some way, like a day where people would go work for Habitat Humanity or go, you know, raise funds for a charity, something along those lines that helps fill people's cup up in a way where they're being community oriented. And then, you know, ease of access. So just like everybody else, no one, it's harder to sell a yoga retreat where you have to fly someplace that's hard to get to and then arrange transportation that's going to be 3 or 4 hours away from the airport. So I feel like generally, if I can get people there, they're willing to fly pretty far, but once they've landed, hour and a half in a car is about as much as they'll tolerate. So, you know, I think those are the main compelling parts of it. And then, you know, figuring out who you would partner with that would actually lead the students on the ground once they get there.
If we do have some interest out there, and I'm hoping that we do,
yeah.
How do people get a hold of you? How your website, you know, all of your contact information so that we can have people move forward with this great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be super happy to help, to talk to anyone, whether they're working with me or they're interested in working with someone who's more regional to them. You can reach me through my studio, which is The Yoga Bar, and the website is theyogabars.com. And my email is rachel@theyogabars.com. So anything that goes there will come to me. And I, you know, this is something I care so deeply about. And I love showing people the world. I love showing them the practice of yoga. And I love helping small business owners. So any way that I can be of use to your listeners, don't hesitate to reach out.
Well, that sounds great. And I do appreciate the opportunity to have you on the show today. It's been a real treat. It's been a really interesting topic. And I certainly want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate it. It's been great getting to chat with you these last few days. And everybody who's listening, please stay well, be kind to one another, and I hope our paths cross at some point.
Thank you, Rachel, and thank you, listeners, for being a part of the show. None of this would happen without you. And you can please contact Rachel and learn more about what she has to offer. And I think it will benefit you greatly. So please reach out and contact Rachel. And until next time, travel safe, stay healthy, and bye-bye for now.